You've heard you should never have a Ouija board, but why? It's Anna and Raven. Barry Pirro is a paranormal investigator.
Barry, let's start at the beginning. Are they real or what?
They're definitely real.
Where did they originate from? To me, it seems so crazy that something that's sold by Hasbro as a game for children conjuring demons from the other side.
It originated in the 1800s. The Fox sisters in Hydesville, New York, were giving seances. Turned out they were faking it the whole time. That turned into the need for some other mediums to use a faster method of communication with the other side. And in 1890, the first Ouija board was patented.
What was your first encounter with Ouija like? And were you more of a pusher or a puller? Be honest, because the first time, come on.
No. Neither. It really works. I was using it in high school really heavily for about a year. I was getting messages, every kind that you can imagine. A lot of threats that it was going to kill me. Also got messages from people said that they needed help. I remember a message from a guy who said that he died in a motorcycle accident in Ohio and that he was stuck where he was and he wanted my help.
Oh my gosh.
But the creepiest thing that happened, using the board with a friend of mine, he had never used it before, and we contacted a spirit that said it was his dead brother. Now, I didn't know he had a brother that had died, but he died as an infant. This spirit said he watches over my friend, takes care of him. All of a sudden, we heard this sound in the other room. We went out there, and a palm tree that was in the other room, it looked like somebody took all the leaves off and threw them around the room. It destroyed this plant. That was my rude awakening not to use it, that it's a dangerous thing.
I mean, okay. The brother just destroyed his house plant.
Destroyed
that. Nice.
Palm
You're looking
tree.
Over me, but then then I got no shade. So that wasn't very nice.
It wasn't nice at all.
Right. How do you get rid of a board?
Do you have to bury it or do you have to light it on fire? What do you do when you have one of these things?
You can bury it. You can really throw it out. I mean, I'm not one of the people who want to go through a whole ritual to get rid of Ouija boards. I didn't even use a board. I used to just draw it on a piece of paper.
Really?
I was pretty obsessed with Ouija boards when I was young.
I mean, that's wild. If they're ready to tap into that, it's like you got a spirit like walking around with you, bro.
I need
you to be careful today, Barry, all right? That's what I need you to do.
I'll be honest. When I was young, we used to do the Ouija board thing. You know, it was spooky. But I remember always being aggravated because it would take too long because it felt like the ghosts were taking forever to spell things.
Right, I mean, just spell quicker.
It's like you got to write it down. You're like, okay, here it goes. You're going towards
God forbid they got broken English or they're speaking in Latin. Now we're really in trouble.
I think in the times of, text messaging where it, finishes the word for you, this seems to be a little bit outdated.
Yeah, but it's funny that I never had that problem. My messages were really fast. Senses so fast we couldn't keep up with it.
Oh, wow.
We couldn't even figure out what the word was.
Wow. That's because yours were actually possessed.
Right. Barry, if a friend brings over a jerk friend who doesn't believe, do you then place a demonic board in their house or their car to attack them? Because I've seen a lot of movies.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that. But no, I don't think that's possible.
Do you think that when you use the Ouija board, it opens up the portal to hell and then there's no way to close that portal?
Good closing question.
Not necessarily portal to hell, but I'm a paranormal investigator and I've done investigations where people have used the Ouija board and they've unleashed something in their home. I did one where a girl used the Ouija board when she was a senior in high school. She and a friend did it. They heard cursing in the room with them. They heard these loud stamping feet. The board was saying, I'm going to kill you. And then after this happened, all this crazy stuff happened in her house where there was this black figure with red eyes seen around. And that lasted 10 years until I came in and did a clearing of the house.
I mean, I would have made that a rental property long before, but
what I've clearly learned here is that I will never have a Ouija board or allow one in my home.
If you put it on top of the board games in the closet, you know it's going to be the first one to fall on your head.
Yeah.
It's out to kill you.
That's right.
Barry Pirro, he's a paranormal investigator. Thank you for taking the time this morning. We really appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Ooh, what's that smell?
It's Anna and Raven's Croctober.
Mmm.
All this week, we've been testing new crock pot recipes. We call it Croctober. My job is to create all these dishes, and then I bring them in, and Raven tries them. Somehow, I don't understand why you didn't cook some of the days.
That's my job, is to eat them.
Oh, all right.
That's my job.
I wasn't sure. So, you know, I was under the impression, Raven, that this would be easy and fun.
Right. I mean, that's the whole thing about the crock pot, right? You load it up in the morning, you walk away, and you come home to deliciousness.
Right. Guess what?
What?
It's been getting a little bit stressful. it's only Wednesday, and I think I've had enough of my crock pot.
Oh, come on.
Okay. I have two major problems with the crock pot.
All right. Give me the first one.
The first one is that going to the grocery store to buy items for these crock pot recipes is stressful.
Why?
I spent 2.5 hours at the grocery store on Sunday.
How's that possible? Come on.
Because, Raven, when you go to the grocery store, normally you buy your normal things.
Okay.
It's kind of like rinse and repeat. Mm-hmm. You walk in, you know
you've got
where
your favorites,
going.
Of course.
You've
right,
got
your
the
staples.
Way you maneuver the aisles. You know where you go. You know where you grab. You know what aisles you can skip, all that. But when you have a list of 5 different recipes that you have never created before,
yeah,
and these recipes have things that you need to find, it's like being on supermarket sweep.
You don't know where the stuff is, so it becomes difficult?
Absolutely. And only that, is now there's things on here that I've never heard of. So I found myself walking through the aisles, lost in space, just kind of wandering around. It's like when you go to a new grocery store for the first time.
Right.
And you don't know.
Or they move things around.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's the worst. Up.
Right. You're like a deer in headlights.
Ready
to
give up, really. I mean, that's what, like, me going to the grocery store anytime is basically like. I don't know where anything is.
Right. So.
But okay.
One of these recipes, actually one that I'm making tomorrow, calls for au jus mix,
yeah.
A-U-J-U.
Au jus.
Au jus.
It's just au jus.
Au jus.
Yep, nope.
Au jus.
No, when you do that, you somehow make it less attractive, just so you know.
So I always thought au jus was the stuff that came on the side of my prime rib when I ordered at Outback.
It is.
Right, but I didn't know that there was a packet involved in it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so, well, that's how you make the au jus.
So I had to find the packet,
yeah,
which is basically like worth $500 on supermarket sweep because it was hidden. Then it called for ranch dip mix.
Oh, my gosh.
And I didn't know if ranch was the same as onion mix.
No.
I still don't know.
Guessing it's not.
I Googled it. Then I had to find out what peppercini peppers were. They're not with the peppers. That's just FYI.
Different place.
Well, yeah. Why would you call it peppercini peppers? But you know what's been the biggest problem about all this?
What's that?
The haters. The crockpot haters on Instagram and Facebook that criticize the way that I put things in my crockpot. Yesterday, I had a man yell at me that I didn't temper the sour cream, which I had to Google what sour cream temper means.
Okay.
Yep. And they're saying I'm not measuring correctly.
Oh, perfect.
But that's why I'm so excited about today's recipe, because it only called for 3 ingredients, and I could not screw it up, and neither can you. Raven will taste test it coming up next with Anna and Raven.
Ooh, what's that smell?
It's Anna and Raven's Crocktober.
Mmm.
This is the kind of crockpot recipe that I am down for.
Mm, you said it was easy, this one.
Yeah, it's Anna and Raven. All this week, it's Crocktober. Every day, we try a different crockpot recipe that you submitted over the last week. Today's comes from Nicole. I actually had a lot of submissions for ribs.
Yeah.
But this one I liked because it had 3 ingredients.
Now, you ruined the surprise for me here because I hadn't removed the top yet at this point. I was just smelling it, wafting up.
Yeah.
And I've got differing smells going on here. I do smell a bit of the ribs, but it almost smells like P.F. Chang style ribs,
yeah,
or something like that. Or
do you know
what
makes
small
it different?
Chicken?
You know what makes it different?
What's that?
Dr. Pepper.
Really?
Yeah. So Nicole wrote when she submitted this recipe, it's easy and delicious. It takes no time. It's the best comfort food. If you're looking for a hearty meal with zero effort whatsoever, this is the recipe for you. Plus, no messy hands. Sold!
I'm guessing that the family liked it because, you know, you've brought me large leftover dishes of the rest of the week.
Yep.
This one is small.
Well, I only made half of it because I wasn't home last night, so my husband was just all by himself.
Right.
And that's the best part about this recipe, is that my husband had to finish it because I had an event last night.
Yeah.
And he was able to do it really easy. So all you need is boneless country-style pork ribs.
Yeah.
Dr. Pepper soda. And I don't like Dr. Pepper, so I was kind of hesitant about it.
Yeah.
But I was like, let's go for it. And barbecue sauce. That's it.
Are you done talking now? Because I'd like to taste it.
Go ahead, eat it.
That's pretty good.
It's good, right? It's a little bit dry, but I think I overcooked it a little bit at the end. But otherwise,
it is a little dry.
Yeah, I think I overcooked
it. But let me get in here with a second bite now.
So the thing about this is that you put the ribs in the crock pot for a long period of time with just the Dr. Pepper over it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last half hour or so, you take it out and you put this barbecue sauce and then you bake it for a little bit. I think I put the temperature too high, to be honest.
Oh, when you baked it?
Yeah, I think that's why it got dried out. That was my fault.
Yeah.
I'm learning that you can screw up crock pot recipes because I've screwed them up every single day this week so far.
Well, I mean, if you defy the instructions that it gives you. And
didn't say a temperature, so I guess 375. I guessed wrong, I think.
Yeah, maybe 350.
Yeah, maybe 325, to be honest, just to get the glaze of the barbecue sauce.
325 doesn't feel like it cooks anything to me.
No, but when you're just going to get the glaze in. So what do you think? What do you think of the Dr. Pepper
ribs? It's pretty good.
It's good, right? Nicole was right. This is easy.
A little dry.
It was fast. Like, this is what I think a crock pot recipe should be. It only had three ingredients. I didn't do anything.
What about the biscuit? Is that hers too?
No, the biscuit I bought in the frozen aisle, and then I just put it in the oven.
Oh, well, then there's no point to tasting that yet.
All right. All this week, you can head to the station's website and get all of our recipes there, or you can head to our Facebook page and search Anna and Raven.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 That's all I need to know about you. It's Anna and Raven. All you have to do is fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. You can call or text 1-800-330-9999. Raven, if you use the rear window dashboard of your car as some kind of random thrift shop shelf.
Oh, I can't stand that.
That's all I need to know about you.
What did you see?
Now, usually you see the people that put like the stuffed animals in the back.
Oh, I can't stand that either. You're a grown person.
Or
what
like,
is with that?
The box of tissues.
Right, grandma.
It's okay.
Thanks.
That I could see, I could understand. But I was sitting in traffic yesterday. And it was like nothing I'd ever seen before. Almost to the point where I like said to my daughter, who was sitting in the back seat, I go, get your phone.
Right.
Take a picture. Take a picture of this. No one's going to believe
me. What was back there? Come on.
Okay. We made a list.
All right.
We had plenty of time to see it. First thing sounds normal.
Yep.
Dunkin' Donuts bag.
Okay.
Yep. Got it. Yeah.
Sure. I mean,
yeah.
Just throw it out when you're done with it,
yeah,
though.
But
all
know,
right.
Sometimes you just put it on the back ledge of your car. All right. A dog bowl. Pair of Nikes. Two arm floaties, the ones that you wear like when you go, like little kids go swimming, arm floaties.
It was 48 degrees when I got up.
A milk carton.
Oh, that's gross because you know that's going to smell bad.
Yeah. A baseball.
All right.
And one item we weren't 100% sure, but we think it may have been a yo-yo.
Random. Seems like, I mean, was there two or three kids in the car? Because it feels like they're going to a sports game or they came from it. Maybe the sneakers are hiking. No, none of that.
It was none of that. It was just like a lady driving by herself. And
that's just gross then.
I was like, that's a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
To put there. And like, why wouldn't you put it on the floor where you could hide it?
If the Dunkin' Donuts bag made it all the way to the rear dash, like, let's be honest, she threw it there. She didn't place it there because if she placed it, she's going to put it right in the trash.
She flung it over
her shoulder.
Yeah. Right. I mean, most of it, I was like, huh, all right, maybe she's got a dog. And I'm like, you have a trunk and a seat,
right.
And there's nobody else in this car. I'm like, how do you even see out of this rear window? I don't understand.
If you contact somebody that you do not know on Facebook to complain or tell them that they should no longer be friends with somebody else that person does not actually know on Facebook because of some sort of political post they made, that's all I need to know about you. I got a message yesterday. I haven't been on Facebook in weeks. I've been taking the mental health break right here. I got
Raven,
a message yesterday.
How often are you really on it?
Well, before that, not every day, right?
Uh-huh.
But I mean, just like I've been taking a break from it consciously. And it's worked well for me. I got a message yesterday from somebody I don't really know, may have met one time in my life or whatever, that told me that I should reconsider my friendship with somebody else on Facebook, which, by the way, guess what? I don't know them either.
Right.
I think I've walked in a restaurant one time or another. This was a restaurant owner, and they were urging me to unfriend this person because this person has some sort of post about politics or whatever.
Do you think people realize Facebook is fake?
Just the audacity and the arrogance of doing that, to send somebody you don't know a message about something like that, like mind your business.
Yeah.
Everybody mind your business.
That's all I need to know about you. I will be very happy when the elections are over.
I would like to think that the rest of this stuff will be over, but who knows?
Yeah. What's the strange thing that you're scared of? 1-800-330-9999. It's Anna and Raven. This story, Raven, is full of fears that I've always had, and they actually came true for someone.
I love to go full bore at anything that scares you.
Okay, 33-year-old man, he's in the city, he's waiting for his bus to come, and the sidewalk just collapsed, and the sinkhole swallowed him.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah.
That is fear one, is that there's just going to be a sinkhole that's just going to swallow me when I least expect it.
Of course,
and
right.
It's exactly what happened.
You know what was in there when he got down there,
Wait,
right?
Oh, I know. It gets worse. Fear number two, here's his mom talking about why he would not scream.
He's traumatized. He said he went straight down and he was just falling. So he's like, Mom, the rats down there were ridiculous. Like he was like, they were so big and he was scared to yell out because he thought that they were going to go in his mouth.
Wait a minute. They're so big he was scared to scream because they would go in his mouth?
Yes. Fear number two, a rat in my mouth. Oh, my gosh. Can you imagine how traumatizing that must be?
Is there video or photo of that many rats on him? Or is that many rats? Because, I mean, if there's a bunch of rats, they don't normally jump into your mouth, I'm guessing.
Raven, if you fall into a sinkhole
when
you're just in the city chilling, waiting for your bus, and all of a sudden you fall 12 feet and all there are rats surrounding you, massive rats... Come on.
I'm going to war. I mean,
are you? Oh, my God. I can't even. My whole body. It's like all my fears in one. Like, in the city, whenever you walk over those metal crates.
Right. You always think that one's going to drop and you're going to fall in there.
That is one of my biggest fears. And I always would walk around. And the worst is when you have heels on.
Yeah.
And you have to, like, walk on your toes really fast over it when the streets are crowded.
Sure.
Oh, that's the worst. But now, in the rats, I'm always afraid of rats anyway. I've never even thought about them in my mouth.
You know, it's funny. I never worry about walking over those grates, but driving over bridges that are like that, I don't like that. I'm not a big fan of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who knows?
There's certain things that you're just afraid of that, like, under normal circumstances, that would never happen. The chances of that happening are so slim to none, but you have those unnatural fears, like those things that just bother you. And I'm not talking about the fear of heights or, like, the fear of public speaking, the big fears.
Sure.
It's the little ones. Do you have anything that you're randomly afraid of that's random?
You know that I'm afraid of the deep ocean, but I don't think that that's really a strange fear.
No,
but I'm also, I don't like to swim in, like, lakes and ponds because I'm fearful of parasites. Like, I just feel like you get down, you get your feet in the mud. You know how it's always mucky on the bottom of a lake or a pond or whatever?
Yeah.
And then, like, I just feel like there's parasites. And then you always hear these, you know, things about the Amazon or whatever. And if you're a guy, malaria, whatever, it'll swim up your... It swims right up your... I mean, don't look at me like you don't know what I'm saying. Like, you never heard this or whatever. It'll swim right in there.
It
and
will?
Then... You get sick.
Okay.
And then, you know, then it even then you get tested for that. You got to get the Q-tip?
No, you got to get the leeches. The leeches suck it out.
Oh, gosh. That's, oh, no. See, I don't like any of that.
That's a random fear. I have a fear of kids' fingers getting stuck in things.
Oh, yeah.
I'm that mom.
Doors, noses.
All the time. I'm always the mom that's yelling, watch your fingers, all the time.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. Watch your fingers! It's a revolving door. Everybody get your kids. Hold their hands. Yeah. What's that strange thing that you're scared of? It seems normal. For some reason, it really scares you. 1-800-330-9999. You can call or text. It's Anna and Raven. It's all my fears that I thought were irrational, except it happened to a 33-year-old guy from the Bronx yesterday in the city. He was chilling on the sidewalk waiting for his bus to come, and a sinkhole swallowed him, and he couldn't scream because he was afraid that the giant rats that were surrounding him were going to go in his mouth.
I mean, you got to be ready for war. If you fall down below, you got to be ready for war to fight off those rats.
Oh, my gosh. It's Anna and Raven. It's every one of my fears. The sidewalks eating you, and then having to deal with rats face-to-face where they're going to attack you and think they're going to go in your mouth. The guy is fine. Everything is okay. But what is the strange thing that you're scared of? 1-800-330-9999. Hey, Ann and Raven.
So if I have to get up to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night, I'm afraid to look in the mirror.
Well, because the witches may come. Wait, hold on. With
Bloody
Mary.
But they're already standing.
No. Bloody Mary.
Yeah. They're already standing
Bloody
there.
Bloody Mary. Someone's going to get me.
You don't see them until you look in the mirror, right?
Right. Yeah, that's a valid fear, actually.
What was I watching? Conjuring or Annabelle yesterday? Either way, exact same thing happened.
Yeah. No,
look at the music box.
Don't do it.
Nope.
Anna and Raven, what's the strange thing you're scared of?
Oh, when you get stuck at a red light under a bridge. I was afraid the bridge was going to come down on me.
Yeah. When I lived in Los Angeles, like, that was, like, a definite fear that I had, too. So the overpasses are massive. And when they had the Northridge earthquake, a bunch of them fell down.
Oh, my gosh.
And some people got trapped under there. But, you know, more than that, you just knew that they had come down, and now they had put them back up. And when you got stuck under those things in traffic, man, that would make me nervous.
Turns out that every fear that everybody has, I also have. Yeah.
Every one of them.
And on Raven, what's the strange thing you're scared of?
Mayonnaise. I am deathly afraid of mayonnaise.
Is it the smell of mayonnaise? Is it the slippery nature of mayonnaise? What is it about mayonnaise?
It's a little bit of everything. I was 4 years old at my playdate girlfriend's house, of course. And I was hungry, and I asked for a sandwich. She made me probably an inch-thick mayonnaise sandwich. I've never had it before. Took a bite and projectile vomited everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, an inch deep of mayonnaise is too much.
But I love mayonnaise. I could eat an inch of mayonnaise. I just put a big spoonful of it in my mouth.
I can eat it, but I don't want to smell it.
I want all of it.
Oh, and I got to wash my hands right after.
Yeah, that's a strange fear. You're right. Thank you for the call.
Have a good morning, man.
Anna and Raven, what's that strange thing you're scared of?
Hand mixers. I can't stand the sound. It just freaks me out.
Is it the turning on of it, or then when it's like running in the bowl and it's rubbing up against the sides of the bowl? Because I get you. That does sound dangerous, right?
Jarring.
It does, right.
Yeah.
The whole thing, everything you just said, yep, can't stand it.
The hand mixer one, too. You know, the one that's just like the single pole? Like, I always imagine, like, you could dispatch something with that, you know?
If it's like a weapon.
Right, you're right. Now, you know what? I'm afraid.
So when you have to make, like, cakes or you're baking, do you hand mix everything?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. That's some
whisk away.
Serious biceps right there.
Right. Like,
really fast. Really fast.
Forearm muscles must be legit.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What weird thing are you scared of?
Balloons. I think it's because, like, when I was a kid, they would always, like, you know the static that comes from it? Like, when they get to your hair and your hair, like, would attach to it. I felt like it was some sort of creepy, like, ghost kind of thing. I don't know, that like some like supernatural weird thing. And then sometimes it would like shock you. So I thought like it was like doing something to me.
One thing it's doing is making you smell like a balloon. I hate the smell of latex.
Oh.
Yeah. I don't want that near me.
Okay.
I don't want it laying near me.
Yeah.
When somebody comes up and like, you remember you used to rub one on your hair and then you could stick it to the wall?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it just smells. Then you smell like a balloon.
Right.
Not cool.
You wouldn't like it at my house with all the gloves that we have, the latex gloves. Most of the time, my 11-year-old just blows them up like they're balloons and just hits them around the house.
Disgusting.
Head to our Facebook page, search Anna and Raven. Let us know what's that strange thing you're afraid of. 1-800-330-9999. It's the only time of year they let me use my spooky witch voice. Let's play this.
Scary ingredients. Way too many syllables.
It's that time of year again, that spooky time of fear again.
It's time for Halloween Candy Autopsy with Anna and Raven.
Hi, Josh. This morning we're playing Candy Autopsy. It's a very simple game. Anna is going to describe for you all the ingredients in a popular candy bar or candy that people will be passing out at Halloween. Here's the trick. She's going to do it in this terrible impersonation of a witch, or what she believes a witch sounds like.
What he means is the best witch voice you've ever heard in your life.
Right. Correctly identify the candy and you get... You get a $50 gift card to Amazon, all right?
Yes, sir.
All right, brace yourself for the scariest witch voice you've ever heard in your entire life, okay?
Oh, it's scary.
Woo! Milk chocolate with sugar, cocoa butter, chocolate, skim milk, lactose, milk fat, soy lecithin, artificial flavor.
This might be your worst one yet.
Peanuts! 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 Corn syrup! Sugar! Palm oil! And egg whites!
Egg whites?
Oh, I got dizzy on that last one. I got a little dizzy.
You're a little red in the face.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so committed to my craft.
I have a guess myself, but I'm not sure if you threw me off there with the egg whites.
Josh, what do you think the candy bar is?
Wow. The apple butter came out of nowhere, and then the egg white came out of nowhere.
Apple butter? Is that what you said?
No apple butter.
No apple butter. But I did say peanuts!
Yes, yes, I heard you. Yeah, you actually said it three times.
Okay.
See, the egg white's confusing me because I guess it's going to stick it together somehow. I'm going to just take a random stab if they take five.
Josh, into the cauldron you go, Josh. I'm so sorry.
It was a Snickers bar!
I was going to go payday.
Snickers!
I'm sorry, Josh. We're going to take the next caller now, 1-800-330-9999. They'll be our winner of the $50 gift card for Amazon, so you can buy a Halloween costume.
Oh, what else you want? I have foiled them again with my witch voice.
That's enough. Tomorrow, another chance to play with Anna and Raven.
Goosebaba.
It's Wellness Wednesday.
Don't freak out.
With Anna and Raven.
On Wednesdays, we get very calm. Namaste. Namaste right here with these two stuffed animals.
Okay.
Yeah, so
they look very nice.
Every week we try something new to help us with our overall well-being. And a lot of times it's breathing exercises to release stress.
Sure.
But a recent study found that if you want to relax or ease your mood, all you have to do is touch something soft for 60 seconds.
Well, that's nice to know. I bought my wife a beautiful blanket yesterday. Very, very soft. And she was like, I need to wash this. And then she touched it. And she's like, I'm going to wash it tomorrow. She laid on it.
There's something very cozy and relaxing about a really good blanket. I actually almost brought one of my favorite cozy blankets to test this out.
Sure.
But I didn't want it to leave my house because I feel like that was my little happy spot on the couch.
Right.
And I didn't trust it here in the studio.
I get it.
So how it works is that neuroscience says that it only takes 60 seconds to course correct from a stressed out mood. And being in a bad mood makes us more sensitive to touch.
Okay.
So both of us are a little bit cranky pants this morning.
I mean, you think so?
I have two stuffed animals here that I took from my daughter's rooms.
Okay.
First, I have a little doggy. He's wearing, looks like headphones that have hearts on them, headband. And then I have a cozy blue bunny. Which would you like?
I'm going to go with the bunny, actually.
My bunny?
Surprisingly so.
Here you go.
Yep.
All right. So now, are they soft? Feel how soft they are, our stuffed animals.
Pretty soft.
All right. Let's take a deep breath. Let's set the clock for 60 seconds. And we're going to see if this actually works. Let's take our stuffed animals. And just for 60 seconds, let's hold them against our bodies. Right now, Raven is canoodling the rabbit. He's holding the rabbit close to his face. And now you're massaging the rabbit.
Is this the baby's rabbit?
That's Hayden's rabbit, but okay, Dakota has a matching rabbit as well. I believe they got them last year for Easter.
Glad, because I was wondering when I was, you know, pawing it and with my eyes closed whether or not there was going to be spit up on it.
So yeah, no, there's not. That's that
one. Glad Hayden doesn't spit up because she's 11.
Yeah. It feels so cozy on our face. I feel like I just want to curl up in a ball with our stuffed animals. Will, 60
seconds. If I close
seconds.
My eyes and relax too much, how am I going to know when this timer is over?
I guess it just stops. Yeah. Okay. Do you feel like it's working? Do you feel that holding these stuffed animals for 60 seconds is releasing all the stress in your body?
Well, I don't know about all the stress in my body, but I'm certainly ready to go back to sleep.
60 seconds is up.
60 seconds is over.
I do feel more relaxed. I guess this is why babies and I guess young children sleep with loveys and they curl up with them. It really is comforting.
You know, I didn't know I was mad before, but suffice to say, I feel slightly better, I guess, now.
Do you want to keep the stuffed bunny just in case?
No, then I'm ripping it from your daughter's hands. I'm not going to feel good about that either.
I give this thumbs up. This works. Cuddle for 60 seconds with something soft, and it'll definitely lighten your mood and make you in a better mood. I
Look
love
at
it.
That. We learned something.
Vampires living here in America? Yep. It's Anna and Raven. Joe Laycock is a religious studies professor at Texas State University and vampire expert.
Professor, we are fascinated. We have so many questions.
Where do vampires come from? And I'm assuming the answer is Transylvania?
Come on.
Well, we associate vampires with Transylvania because of Count Dracula. An actual historical figure, right, better known as Vlad Tepes, was actually considered a hero in his day because the Ottoman Empire wanted to invade Europe, and first they had to get through Transylvania, and he was very brutal in fighting them and did things like impale people on stakes to frighten the Ottomans away. But in that part of the world, there is an idea that people who were very cruel or wicked in life can come back from the dead. And so Bram Stoker used Vlad Tepes as the inspiration for his novel Dracula. But these ideas don't just come from Transylvania, Romania. They come from Russia, Germany, Greece. And so our idea of the vampire combines traditions from all of these different European cultures.
Always amazing to me the different variations of these legends, but yet the similarities. And that's because it's rooted in the truth. Right?
Well, you know, there's a lot of research on could there be some sort of phenomenon that explains vampires. For example, we know that if you don't know how bodies decay and you dig up a body out of its coffin, gases will push blood out of the mouth so it looks like they've been drinking fresh blood. And so there's a lot of that kind of speculation. I haven't found anything that I think is a smoking gun yet, but it's a fun project to think about.
The wooden stake. Is that real? Like the wooden stake through the heart is the only way you can kill a vampire?
So the stake through the heart is absolutely real. And the idea was basically that the vampires stay in their coffins, and then at night they come out and they attack people. If you want to make sure they can't get out of that coffin at night,
right,
one thing you can do is just, you know, thumbtack them to the bottom. The idea of that bodies have to be staked. We see in a lot of cultures. In fact, under English common law, there was a rule that if you commit suicide, your body is supposed to be staked and buried at the crossroads. So it's a common idea that the dead are not going to stay dead unless we help.
Wow. Creepy.
Do you really have to invite a vampire in?
So again, each culture has kind of its own traditions about these creatures. Again, they don't use the word vampire. They use a whole range of words. But in some of these legends, they have to be invited in. And, you know, one of the functions of that folklore is it creates a sense, you know, you're not totally helpless. These things can't really get you unless you make a mistake. Right? And to some extent, it's your own fault if you get attacked by the vampire.
I read this article that says that there's 5,000 real vampires that live in the United States.
Yeah, that's real. I've met some of these so-called real vampires. It's really important to understand that when they say I'm a vampire, they don't mean that they can turn into a bat or that they'll live forever or something like this. But some of them do believe that they're not like normal people. And some of them say even, you know, I have to drink human blood regularly to feel healthy. I don't feel right if I haven't had some blood. And I want to be clear, I'm talking about a few drops of blood from a consenting adult not going out and tearing into somebody's throat. That's what those numbers mean when they say there's 5,000 vampires in America.
Joe, as a vampire expert, have you ever drank the blood of another human?
No, I never have. And I've also never let one of my research subjects taste my blood.
Good.
But they have asked, haven't they?
I have a colleague who's done that. In religious studies, which is my field, we're always trying to understand other people's cultures, but there are certain limits to how far we're going to go. So for one mind, it's no blood play. That's my limit.
Seems safe. That seems like the right choice there.
Good call.
Yeah.
Good call.
Joe Laycock is a religious studies professor at Texas State University, author and vampire expert. Thanks so much for talking to us, Joe. We appreciate it.
It's been fun. Thank you.
There's definitely these people that exist that you go out to eat and you'll only eat outside, no matter whether they're socially distant or whatever. But the problem is now between George and Megan is that they're supposed to go out Friday night to have dinner with friends that they haven't seen since before the pandemic started. And they made reservations to eat outside at a steakhouse. Megan says, I'm not going. It's cold out there.
Yeah, it's already been discussed that this place doesn't even have heaters. George says, well, you know, reservations are hard to come by, but it finally opened up. Well, it opened up because, again, it's supposed to be 30 degrees a couple nights this week.
Is she being a baby for not just agreeing to go, sucking it up to see friends and layering up? 1-800-330-9999. Hi, Couples Court, Anna and Raven.
I'm on the husband's side. I just think, honestly, nothing is the same this year. You have to just embrace it. Have fun. It'll be a funny story later on when you talk about bundling up and having a great night with your friends. Honestly, we all need to see our friends before this lockdown comes again, and I think she should just be a gamer and go for it.
Thanks for the call. Have a good morning.
Oh, man, I think she might have changed my mind. You got to be a trooper. Like, you got to be a trooper.
No, she's playing on your emotions of just being challenged. That has nothing to do with whether or not the steak is going to be good.
I mean, it's going to be a good story one day, right? Well, 1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's Couples Court with Anna and Raven. It's getting cold. It is cold. And that's why Megan wants to cancel on her friends. They have dinner reservations for Friday night to go to this steakhouse, an expensive steakhouse, but they only eat outside, the other couple. And she says, that's it. Like, they don't want to go inside. We're canceling because I'm not sitting outside and freezing.
Yeah, Megan can't understand why George even agreed to this. George says, listen, we haven't seen them in months. This was when it opened up. But again, not only is it going to be cold, the weather just doesn't look good for Friday. She doesn't want to do it.
Yeah, so do you bury all of that and just suck it up for your friends because you haven't seen them and you want to see them? Or do you say, hey, sorry, guys. Listen, we either do takeout and you come over our house or we ain't going. 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court with Anna and Raven. Whose side are you on?
I am definitely on Megan's side. Who wants to pay top dollar to be cold?
Yeah, that's kind of the big thing for me. Like, if you were going out somewhere and the meal was going to be $8 and it was something where it was going to be a quick stop and go with your friends, of course, who doesn't want to see their friends? That sounds fun. But to have a sit-down meal where you're going to have like a salad and bread and that type of stuff and the steak's going to come out and already be cold, forget it.
Yeah, I just take it out. Take out. Take it home.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, still support the business, obviously. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Whose side are you on?
I'm on her side. I feel that he's had since April to get together with friends when everybody could be outside and doing things. And he's had all that time and has not made any attempt to be with his friends. And if that was my husband telling me to bring a blanket, wear a parka, that's ridiculous. I say don't go. Right. Let him go by himself.
I'm going to get steak sauce on my parka, and that's not cool.
Right. Thank you for the call.
It's not really funny to beef Wellington when you're wearing four blankets.
Right.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Whose side are you on?
Hi, good morning. I'm on the wife's side. They still call outside. They just go home and have a dinner inside the home instead of going outside to a restaurant and, like, die. Freezing.
Right. I'm with you. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, why can't
my wife is cold on the couch half the time and the heat is blazing. I've got no shirt on and we're watching TV. And she's still telling me she's cold.
There's got to be some kind of bonfire at this point if I'm going to be outside.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Megan, our audience agreed with you. It's not worth freezing to death, you know, just to see your friends. They could have gotten together all summer long. The time is over now for that.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
George, it may have seemed like a fun idea, like you're going out tailgating with your buddies at a football game and you've got a, you know, a half pint of brandy in your pocket. But, you know, when it's a Friday night, you're going to a steakhouse. I understand her apprehension.
Well, we'll have some Irish whiskey. You know, we'll you know, it'll be nice and there's nothing wrong with going out. Having some fun. It'll be a little cold. Exactly. It'll be just like going to a tailgate.
Could come over. Let's come over to the backyard. We can make a fire, like something like that. But like an outside nice
restaurant. So we'll do that afterwards.
Like steakhouse.
George, you lost. It's over.
Whatever.
Here's what you do. You cancel on your friends, and then you sit inside. All right, you have a problem too, send an email. couplescore@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Who's this?
Emily,
you're playing for the biggest jackpot we've ever had, $2,500. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, can you please leave the room?
Sure. Good luck, Emily.
All right, Emily.
Thank you.
We got five questions here. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. Raven's out in the hallway. He can't hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you these questions, and then I'll bring him back in. Whoever gets the most right wins. If you get more right than he does, not a tie, more, that $2,500 is yours. You ready to play?
Yes.
Number one, Drake is being criticized for serving raisins and sun-dried tomatoes in his mac and cheese at his birthday party over the weekend. What brand of raisins has a woman wearing a red bonnet on their packaging?
Sunmade.
Number two, the American Music Awards announced their nominees for this year's show. Roddy Ricch and this Blinding Lights artist tied for the most nominations with 8. Who is that?
The Weeknd.
Number three, Kim Kardashian is being criticized because she flew her friends out and rented a private island for a socially distant 40th birthday party. What is the name of Kim's shapewear line?
Skim.
Number four, Blake Shelton and Gwen Stefani are officially engaged. On what reality competition show did they meet?
The Voice.
And number five, the LA Dodgers beat the Tampa Bay Rays to win the World Series last night. Who won the World Series last year?
Oh, my gosh.
Ah!
I don't know.
Okay. That's all right, Emily. Let's see if it's enough. Let me bring Raven back in.
Oh, man.
That's you.
She got 4 out of 5.
4 out of 5 is really good. Let's see how I do.
Oh, gosh. I thought she was going to have all 5. Number one, Drake is being criticized for serving raisins and sun-dried tomatoes in his mac and cheese at his birthday party over the weekend.
Heard about that.
What brand of raisins has a woman wearing a red bonnet on their packaging?
Sunmade.
Sunmade is correct.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, does anybody else even make raisins?
That's what I was wondering
right there
at that moment, yeah.
Number two, the American Music Awards announced their nominees for this year's show. Roddy Ricch and this Blinding Lights artist tied for the most nominations with 8. Who is that?
Blinding Lights is The Weeknd.
Yes. Number three, Kim Kardashian is being criticized because she flew her friends out and rented a private island for a socially distant 40th birthday party.
It's amazing.
What is the name of Kim's shapewear line?
Shape?
Is that your answer?
Shapes.
No.
No,
it's not. It's Skims.
Oh!
Okay, you got to get both of these right to win.
Yep.
Okay, number four. Blake Shelton and Gwen Stefani are officially engaged.
Mm-hmm.
On what reality competition show did they meet?
The Voice.
It all comes down to this last question.
I can count.
If Emily... All right, Emily, if Raven gets it right, you guys tie. If he gets it wrong, you win $2,500. You ready?
Yes.
Number five, the LA Dodgers beat the Tampa Bay Rays to win the World Series last night.
Right.
Who won the World Series last year?
The Nationals.
Oh!
Oh, it's so close and then just snatched away from the clutches.
Emily, you're tied at 4. That gets you your own Anna and Raven t-shirt. Oh, my gosh. I thought you had them.
I'm so sorry, Emily.
Thank you. This is Emily, and I can't beat Raven.
Well, Emily, thank you for trying. Gosh, you were so close. Hold on the line.
I'm sorry. Emily seems nice, but I got to play.
Tomorrow morning, that jackpot, another record high, $2,600. I'll give you the cheat sheet coming up at noon and 5:30 today. The first two answers to tomorrow's five pop culture questions. Oh, my gosh.
How much longer can you take this?